For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
B-Pod Studios.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Spin your passion into a business with Shopify and break sales records with the world's best converting checkout. Let's hear that one more time.
The world's best converting checkout.
Shopify's legendary checkout makes it easier for customers to shop on your website, across social media, and everywhere in between. Now that's music to your ears. Any way you spin it, you can be a smash hit with Shopify. Start your dollar a month trial today at shopify.com/records.
It's Boston's most listened to afternoon radio program. Vulgar and Mass.
You need a little bit of fat in there for flavor.
Presented by DraftKings Sportsbook on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
What makes this, to me, a really good series is that after two games, if you're a Celtic fan, you can absolutely argue your way to you're the better team. You really can. And if you're a Warriors fan, you feel the same way. And both the Celtics and the Warriors have a growing concern that may be a reality. So let's start with that. Here's Boston's concern. Jason Tatum is a star with a role player's confidence. He's averaging 20 a game. Tatum's starting to doubt himself. He was hot briefly early yesterday, but finished with the worst plus minus of any player on either team. That's who Tatum is. Tatum verbalized it. He's not the confident star that we're used to, accustomed to in this league. Jaylen Brown has much more confidence. Tatum's just more gifted. And he is shrinking in front of our eyes. And this is what the Warriors do. They throw Wiggins at you. They throw Draymond at you. They get in your head. They got a lot of depth defensively.
All right, let's just give our thoughts here on the off day. Celtics-Warriors, game three tomorrow night here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. A big issue for the Celtics, according to Colin Coward, Maz, is Tatum's confidence level. He's a star player with a role player's confidence.
A role player's confidence.
Your thoughts, Maz, true or false?
Yeah, I don't know if he's got a role player's confidence, but I think his general point is right. I think Jaylen Brown is the more confident of the two players. And I think you see that manifest itself in a lot of different ways. So, you know the role player's confidence thing, like, okay, game six in Milwaukee, now what, never happened? Like, we're just going to eliminate that from the landscape? It just never existed? So that part to me is going a little bit too far. But if you want to tell me that Tatum needs to be more assertive, Tatum needs to be more of an alpha like Brown, yes, absolutely. And I think that that is something that they're going to need probably in this series if they're going to win it, unless Brown is the guy that, you know, completely takes over the series. But, you know, they need more out of Tatum. He's their best player. You typically go as your best player goes. So I want to see him being more assertive, and I want to see him be tougher near the rim.
Yeah, definitely more assertive. I'm with Maz on that. To say he's got the role confidence of a role player, I think, is a little bit overdramatic. I just think he overthinks things sometimes. Like, anytime I see him on Steph Curry, I don't know, dude, like, shoot over him. You can shoot over him. He did it a couple of times in this last game, but there's other times he's, like, looking for the pass. And I almost wonder if he's, like, you know, he's become such a proficient facilitator this year that he's like, no, I got to pass here. I got to pass. So, dude, you have a size advantage on Steph Curry. Shoot over him. Take that shot.
So Coward says he's shrinking before our eyes. Overstated.
Yeah.
But I think Colin makes a distinction between the way Curry carries himself and where Curry's at and how he plays and how Tatum plays, and I think he is right about it, that Steph Curry carries himself with more confidence, more swagger, if that matters something to you. He's more willing to take the shot, keep taking the shot, and I think that all makes sense. Jason Tatum just turned 24. Steph Curry is what? 32?
33.
33, yeah. And has been at this now, has been at this level for 8 years. So something tells me that when Tatum is 33 and has been at the championship level for 8 years, he's going to be a little more of the cock of the walk. You know, like it's he's just a kid, and he doesn't have, to begin with, he's just sort of wired differently to begin with. He's just sort of he's just got a softer edge to him. We know this about him. But he's a brilliant player, and he just got here for the first time. So, of course, Tatum's confidence level and the way he carries himself and all that is going to be different than Steph Curry's. So I don't think that's really much of a criticism, but it also is a reality. You know, I think Steph Curry's been the best player in the series so far. Like, he's been the most impactful guy over the two games.
Definitely.
Definitely.
Not that every half has been, you know, the second half in game one. He certainly was muted some by the Celtics, but I think that over the two games, he's been more of a factor than Tatum, more of a factor than Jaylen Brown, who went one for his last 13. So can the Celtics win the series if Jason Tatum isn't the best player in the series? And the answer, I think, is yes. They won the Miami series, and Jimmy Butler might have been the best player in the series. I mean, Tatum won the Larry Bird Trophy.
I mean, Maz, you said you wanted to give the MVP to Jimmy Butler, right, even in defeat.
I mean, it's debatable who was the best player in that series. I think in the Bucks series, Giannis probably was the best player. So can you win without Tatum being the best player, Maz? I still think you can.
Yeah, again, so look, I'm just telling you that I'm going by games one and two here, okay? They need more out of him. They need more. They got to get more out of Tatum. And so when I say the general premise of Coward is right, I'm really talking about in comparison to Brown. So I think they can win the series, Mike, even if Tatum's not the best player on his team, because I think he's got Brown.
I agree.
So if Brown's the best player on the team, I think they can win it. But they need more out of Tatum.
And
so he just he's got to get better. What's he shooting for the series, 30% or something like that? The number is absurdly low. It's got to be better than that if they're going to win.
Okay, so that was Coward's big concern for the Golden State Warriors, the Klay Thompson issue, which I said before the series, he's, to me, the swing guy, and this would be by far my biggest concern for Golden State. I think Colin agrees, Jimmy.
The Warriors' concern. Klay Thompson, that last game against Dallas, that's not what he is. He's missing shots. He's bad, and Steve Kerr knows it. Steve Kerr kept him on the floor in scrub time last night, trying to get his confidence back. He's taking bad shots. He's missing open shots. He doesn't have confidence around the rim. And if he doesn't score, this team becomes too Steph reliant. I mean, you can't ask Steph to carry the offense. And Jordan Poole's not going to give you a bunch of games like last night when he couldn't miss in the second half.
So I'm with Coward on this. Big, big consideration.
That was game one. It was too Steph Curry-centric, I thought.
Well, the deal is that your best player was a no-show in game one, scoring-wise, right? 3-for-17, whatever Jason Tatum was, and you still won. If Steph Curry no-shows on that level, scoring, without Klay Thompson, I don't know if Golden State can do it. I like their role pieces, but I'm relying on Poole or Porter or Wiggins, or who? Who am I relying on there to be that second, to do what Jaylen Brown did?
Mittens.
In game one. Gary Payton Jr., Mittens? I don't know. So that to me, Klay Thompson from the start for me has been it. And if this is what he's going to be, I don't see how Golden State does it.
But he is going to explode for one of these games, because it's happened with him already in some of these prior series. The closeout game against Memphis where he had 30 points. All you need is one, you know, they got to win three more. I think they can count on him doing it once, but I don't think any more than that.
See, I'm not sure one's enough. Not when you're talking about that level of player. Again, Al Horford gave you one, right? He gave you one in each series, basically. And so I think, but I wouldn't put Horford at the level of being the second best player on a team. So from that type of guy, you got to get it, you know, four or five times out of seven. You got to get it that many times. I think, look, I think Thompson is, I just don't think he's the same player. I don't think it's coming. I don't think all of a sudden over these final five games, if that's what it is, that he's going to have three or four good ones. I just don't think he's that kind of guy, at least not right now.
He needs two. The Warriors seem to have two.
But if Poole goes off like he did the other night, like, it might not matter.
I don't know. I don't know if Poole's good enough to be that guy. I don't know.
Say the same thing about Celtics and Grant Williams and other role players like that.
I just think there's more guys. I've seen more guys do it. I've seen Grant Williams do it. I've seen Al Horford do it. I'm watching Derek White do it. They just Marcus Smart even could have a night. I don't know. I see it. I just see more options here. Tatum 7 from today. So there was big media availabilities from both teams. Jason Tatum, number 7. Jimmy, question and answer about finals experience so far and his superstar status.
Hey, Jason, you're obviously very intentional about a lot of the things you want to do, including that and what you wanted to accomplish in the game. And I'm wondering, you know, what is the finals experience and this whole run been like as a superstar player compared to what you expected and all that has come with it?
It's been a lot. You know, this is a dream come true, you know, playing in the finals. You know, as a competitor, you know, this is what you work for, right? You want to be the last team standing. You want to hold up that trophy. So I think to have a golden opportunity, you know, right at your fingertips, just taking full advantage of it. You know, you don't want to have any regrets, you know, when it's all said and done, you know, win or lose. You know, and feel that you gave it your all, and that's all you can ask of anybody. A lot of people want to debate. You know, I guess you just comment about the superstar, you know, whatever that means, right? I'm sure that I've seen there's a huge debate. Is he a superstar? Is he not? I want to know where that came from. Like, did I tweet that? Did I ever say that I'm a superstar? Or, you know, I'm on the verge? Like, that never came from me. But it has been a big deal this last year and a half or 2 years. And I see it all the time. And there's always been a question in the back of my head. Like, I wonder who spoke on my behalf or said that or why that was such a big deal. But, you know, if you win a championship, they can debate a lot of things. They can debate whether or not, you know, you're a champion. So, obviously, lost the other night. And just looking forward to bouncing back tomorrow. First final games at home and at the Garden. It's going to be fun, so I'm looking forward to it and enjoying this experience.
Why are you shaking your head, Mass?
No, I'm shaking it in a good way. I find him more and more compelling to listen to the deeper I get into the playoffs. I think these are pretty honest answers. And, you know, again, this whole idea of I'm a superstar. On the one hand, I hear him say that, Mike, and I say, well, look at LeBron. Look at LeBron's sort of, and I say ego, but not critically. It's massive. He's the most important guy in the room. Kobe Bryant had it. You know, maybe to a lesser degree, Steph Curry has it. So you on the one hand, you want to think of that as being a prerequisite to being a superstar in that league, that you have to believe it to be that guy. But then I stop and think about it, and I hear Tatum sounding there just, you know, maybe as humble as I've heard him say, like, I didn't call myself a superstar. I don't know what you guys are talking about. Tim Duncan wasn't, you know, as egocentric as LeBron or Kobe. And I would call him every bit the dominant superstar in the league for a while that those guys have been. So the personality isn't as big. But I just think Tatum is starting to understand who he is and, you know, what his methods and, you know, his idea of being a superstar is. Because the talent is there. I don't know how you feel about his, you know, his... Just his the way he's delivering his message now, I feel like we're getting to see more and more of him in these playoffs.
Absolutely. And he's growing. And you can just feel it by the day in these public settings. But it also reinforces the fact that he's not there. He's in the process of it.
He's searching, right.
He's in the process of it, of fully forming.
Growing, yeah.
Where Steph Curry's fully formed. And will that be a difference in this series? I want to pick up that very topic with your calls right after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
At the end of the day, it's still all about sports.
We don't take it seriously.
And whatever's on Jim Murray's mind.
Get over the persecution complex, you children.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Also, they know deep down our star Steph is way more reliable in a big spot than their star Jason Tatum, whose confidence ebbs and flows based on if he's making shots. Steph never loses confidence. MJ, LeBron never lose confidence, or rarely. Tatum loses it every other quarter. Now we move to Boston. So we know the Celtics are really good, but why in their last nine games have they lost four at home? Because I think you become your star in the NBA. If your star is hungry and humble, Tim Duncan, that's your dynasty. If your star is outspoken and flamboyant, Heatles, Golden State, that's your dynasty. If your star is tough and relentless, MJ, that's what the Bulls were. You become the personality of your star. It's always been this way in basketball. Much smaller locker rooms than baseball or hockey or football. You got like 12, 13 dudes and six really play and two matter. And Tatum gets tight. Tatum loses confidence. And that's what's fascinating to me, because deep down after two games, I believe two things are true. That the Celtics play with the confidence of a runner-up. And the Warriors play with the confidence of a champion.
I'm sure you don't love that analysis, but there's something to it. I think it's to be expected. You just got here for the first time. Your two best players are 24 and 25 or whatever. The Warriors have been here a bunch. And whether they're as good or not as good, well, they're certainly not as good without Kevin Durant, obviously. And whether you think they're overrated or Steve Kerr sucks or whatever, they've been here a bunch, so they have a certain air about them and confidence about them. And that usually does show up in the NBA. That usually does make a difference, unless you're too old. Unless you're too old, then that doesn't matter. Or the team you're playing is just too good, and then it doesn't matter. And you may be that. You may fall into that category. You just may too good. But, you know, when we played that Tatum Cup before, he says it's been a lot being in the NBA Finals. It's everything you dreamed of. I think, again, that was a sort of heartfelt, honest, thoughtful answer that he gave, and the whole thing about being a superstar. It's just Steph Curry's not thinking that way. Steph Curry's not sitting here saying this is a lot. And Steph Curry's not sitting here saying it's everything you dreamed of. It's been here too much. He's got a whole nother fish to fry about solidifying his all-time legacy and how he's going to be remembered in the game. And
there's no wow factor for Steph Curry at this point. There is something about that hearing it from Tatum, and I get it, but it's like, dude, can you dial that back a little bit? It's like, oh, gee, wow, like a kid on Christmas morning type of thing.
So, like, I mean, Tatum's still thinking things through, as he should. Curry's done thinking them through, and he's now trying to put a capper on something. So it's just you're in different places, and as long as the Warriors aren't too old, the place they are generally beats that first-time thing. But again, maybe you're just that team. Lord knows, I think if you play at your ceiling, you're better than the Warriors. And now you have home court. So this isn't saying you can't win the thing. But I do think those sort of, I don't know, I think those points by Colin Cowherd are largely accurate. Yes, Maz?
Well, so that I was just going to say, the point about the confidence is dead on. Of course the Warriors have more confidence. They have three rings. Where do you think the confidence comes from? So I would say the only way to get that confidence, this is why winning that first championship is such a critical thing for anybody, let alone which league you're talking about. Once you get that first one, it's like, okay, now I've proven to myself that I can do it. And in that league, I would say it even means more because of the emphasis on the star player. So the question, but if that were the only variable, then the only teams that would win championships would be the ones that already have them. You know, to get the confidence, you got to win a first one somewhere along the line. So I just think, look, again, Golden State's been there, you know, however many times it's been, five. This is their sixth, right? So they've been there five times already. They get three championships. Of course they're confident and unfazed. And it's the one biggest advantage they have over the Celtics in this series.
Okay, so those are some final thoughts for you. What are yours? We've got this. We got the Bruins stuff. We did some Patriots earlier off of their mini camp practice. Whatever you want. It is all up to you. Oh, and there's breaking news here that no one cares about, but it is where Maz is. Maz is in Anaheim right now, where they've just fired Joe Maddon, right?
Oh, we should have done the button.
Well, it's who gives a rat's ass about Joe Maddon? I don't, but go ahead, Maz.
Yeah, Joe Maddon gone. They've lost 12 in a row. I would say this team's in what you'd call a flat spin in Top Gun terms for those people who are into that sort of thing. Phil Nevin, the third base coach, will now take over as interim manager. And for those of you who remember, Phil Nevin was the third base coach for the Yankees last year in the playoff game at Fenway Park, who waved home the runner who got thrown out at the plate, whose identity escapes me at the moment. But Maddon toast, he's out of here.
Okay, they've thrown up on the simulcast, Maz, identifying you out in Anaheim. Maz is in the building in Anaheim and somehow didn't break the Joe Maddon news. This is true. I am the last to know.
Yeah, oh, no. I just found out by Vinny from Vinny during the break. Yeah. So he didn't break the Maddon news. And I said, what Maddon news? So I had no idea. Of course, I should have been able to figure it out from there. But, yeah, he's done.
Okay, Maz broadcasting from Anaheim today, where he'll call the Sox on TV this evening. Just because Kristen Worcester has been waiting for 10 minutes on this, so if I paid attention to my call screen, I would have had this 10 minutes ago. Go ahead, Chris.
Hey, hi, guys. Thanks. And Maz, I hope you're having a great time out there. But, no, I never liked Joe Maddon, and I'm glad he's gone. I don't like people getting fired, but goodbye. I just hated his managing style. Because aren't they a better team, Maz, the Angels, than what they've done 12 in a row? That's what I was wondering.
Certainly they're better than losing 12 in a row. But your thoughts on Maddon in general, Maz?
So, look, I would tell you that initially I liked him. I thought he was kind of quirky and different. Like a lot of people, I liked him at the beginning. I thought he had a fresh perspective to the game. All of that was good. He lost me when all of a sudden he started changing the shift between pitches. If you remember that in Tampa when he did that, Mike.
Yeah, he would have the 3-2 defense or whatever.
Yeah, like he would have Longoria basically playing shortstop, moved over from third in the shortstop position at a shift based at the beginning of an at-bat. And then the count would change and he would move him to the right side and bring the shortstop back over. And I'm looking at this going, all right, what are we doing here? What's this musical chairs bull crap? And all of a sudden, I'm going to whittle it down to pitch by pitch. So once it got to that stage, I think the genius of Joe Maddon started to work against him and he started to look dumber by the day.
Chris in Hartford on the Celts. Go ahead, Chris.
All right, so Felger, last night, I thought you did a very good job proving your point. I was disappointed in Maxwell on Zoom and Holly, and I'm getting tired of Holly because he hasn't gotten anything right for like the last two seasons of BTS. Now, here's the thing. Asked him, Brown went ahead and was affected by Green defense, and Maxwell said no, it wasn't his defense. But then you asked him about Clay and they said no, we played great defense on Clay.
Well, there's one thing that they did insist on that they might be right about. I don't know, they certainly know more basketball than I do, but the Warriors made a switch in game two where they put Draymond Green on Jaylen Brown, and Jaylen Brown was the best player on the floor in game one. He was the key to your victory in game one. He started that whole thing going in game one. And Klay Thompson had him for much of game one. And so the Warriors said, we can't allow this to happen. So I thought they did something pretty creative.
There were certain plays your eyes
But hold on. They put Klay Thompson on Al Horford. They put a guard on your big because they fear Al Horford more as a perimeter player, I guess, or they're trying to hide Klay Thompson. Either way, Draymond Green got Jaylen Brown, and Jaylen Brown made only one of his last 13 shots. Ergo, Draymond Green played good defense on Jaylen Brown, I thought.
Yeah, he did.
But Holly and Max said no. He just trashed the game up, mucked the game up, and not really is. Holly said he's not even that good of a defensive player.
There was a few series he was right all over Jaylen Brown and like all handsy and everything, and he frustrated him enough. I mentioned there was that one play yesterday that he was like get off me and just chucked it up and it like went flat against the rim. So that wasn't good defense by Draymond Green there.
I'm just telling you what they said. So they were dismissive of Draymond Green's defense on Jaylen Brown, that it was more just Draymond Green and the antics.
That's crazy.
Is what, but I don't know. I liked Klay Thompson. If I'm the Warriors, I like Klay Thompson on Al Horford. He hurt you on the three-point line. I'm not worried about Al Horford on the block. I mean, he'll get 2 points now and then. He didn't the other night. But presumably, Horford should be able to own that matchup inside. I don't think the Celtics want to play that way. Pound it to Al Horford on the block for 2 points. It's not really their offense, Maz.
No, and Thompson's biggest issue is that he's not quick, not anymore, or not quick enough. And so put him on Horford. Horford's not the quickest guy. Like, that makes sense to me. I happen to think that Green shouldn't be as quick as Jaylen Brown. Okay, right? I'm just looking at them. You say Brown should be able to beat him off the dribble. But Green knows how to mitigate that by getting right up on top of him. And, you know, if you're allowed to be physical and grab a little bit, and I'm not blaming the officials, I'm just telling you, depending on how the game is called, he'll get away with that. In a tightly called game, he's going to get called for fouls.
Okay, Draymond Green had a real interesting answer on physicality in the game today versus what it used to be. You'll hear that coming up after Big Jim Murray's update.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Life's better with American Family Insurance because our home policies help protect your dreams and come with peace of mind. Save up to 25% by bundling home, auto, and life. American Family Insurance. Get a quote, find an agent at amfam.com.
Products not available in every state. Discounts may not apply to all coverages on an auto or home policy. Discounts do not apply to life insurance policies. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating companies, American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Heard sexy.
This is the place Boston sports fans come to get some positive vibes for their teams.
Anything but. It's time to panic.
Maybe not.
I think the most pressing issue for management, for Don and Cam, was the fact that there were certainly stylistic issues with Bruce, especially with his younger players. And boy, does this signal that it's going to be more younger players coming in, right? Because why would Patrice Bergeron come back at this point with some of this turnover taking place, with some of his best teammates being injured? To start the year, you're going to have to start incorporating more young players who can accommodate or be with a coach who is more accommodating to their mistakes. That's pretty much the reason why Bruce was let go.
So that remains our lead story today. The firing of Bruce Cassidy flew to Shinzawa of The Athletic last night on Boston Sports Tonight, NBC Sports Boston, with myself and my colleague. Never mind that these young players that Bruce Cassidy was handed can't play. Amazing. It's still, what a whopper. That the GM who drafted these horrible young players is not being held accountable. It's the coach who wasn't nice to them. It still blows me away. Because he asked Jack Stanika to back check?
Or Trent Frederick.
Or he took ice time away from Trent Frederick because he plays like an idiot?
Yeah, Trent Frederick or DeBrusk. Well, they suck, but, you know, their feelings were hurt, so you got to go.
Jake DeBrusk, soft, entitled, demanded a trade, pouted, acted like a baby, really isn't all that good. Instead of holding accountable the GM who selected him over a half dozen NHL superstars, instead of holding the GM accountable for drafting him, they're firing the coach for not accommodating that crappy young player. Go think of that. So that's what they did today. But we're hitting on everything else as well. Draymond Green, I gave you this quote, or I teased this earlier. Draymond Green was asked about, I guess, his playing style and his reputation and how the game is played today. He sort of gave an interesting answer. He starts off by saying, I heard what Max said about me, Cedric Maxwell. Before we play it, Jimmy, is he referring to Cedric Maxwell, the clip we played from his podcast, where if Cedric Maxwell said that if Draymond Green carried himself the way he did in game two, he'd get knocked the bleep out?
That's my assumption, yes.
Okay.
Yeah,
so,
gotta be, yeah.
Yeah, so I assume that comment came back to Draymond Green because Draymond Green answered Cedric Maxwell today at the press conference. Go ahead, Jimmy.
I saw what Cedric Maxwell said. And, you know, one thing that baffles me about the 80s or the 90s or whatever you want to call when basketball was so much more physical is some of the guys that be talking weren't the guys that was punching people. You know, like they act like, you know, guys was just walking around the court like, I'm hitting this guy in the nose. there were a few guys back then that would lay you out, that would knock you out, that would foul you and get thrown out the game. Bill Laimbeer, Rick Mahorn. But everybody running around acting like they were that. Y'all were getting bullied. And so it baffles me when every guy, just because they played in the 80s, just because they played in the 90s, is like, man, if you played in our day, you get knocked out. Like, no, nah, not really, because it wouldn't be you. So, okay, you saying Rick Mahorn would have knocked me out. Rick Mahorn probably knocks you out. Like, Bill Laimbeer probably lays you out. So were there enforcers of that time? Of course. Would they have knocked you out? Of course. Their fine was also $2. Like, you know, it's just not the same day and age. If I go knock somebody out, I probably get fined $1 million. Like, it just don't work the same. And so, you know, when guys get to making these comparisons or talking about, oh, if you played in this day and age, like, yeah. And if you played in this day and age, you would have had to be way more skilled than you were. And it's just different, you know? Like, comparing the physicality to the game and everybody acting like they were just the most physical and brutal enforcers, it's like everybody acting like they shoot the ball like Steph Curry today. You know, it's like, then it was physical. Now it's shooting. Everybody can't shoot the ball. Imagine me in 20 years, like, man, if you played in my day, you had to shoot. Like, yeah, guys did shoot better and more. But that don't mean you shot that well. Like, and so it just baffles me when guys get out here talking and they ain't got, you know, we got YouTube and you can pull up them highlights and they ain't got no YouTube fights. Like, you see them on the court getting bullied, but they talking about you and got punched in the face. These people be killing me. Y'all enjoy y'all day.
Okay, so Matt, Draymond, he's great.
Yeah, but be more long-winded. I mean, yeah, you kept repeating himself.
I know. If I had a chance to hear the guy, would have edited it, but that's it's coming in raw today, Murray. It's just coming in. What was I going to say? Oh, so Maxwell, I remember Cedric went into the stands in Philly once and slapped a dude in the front row. Did not get ejected from the game, by the way. You know, different
unbelievable.
Time, right? He still kept playing. So he went into the stands and slapped a dude and kept playing. Do you remember any on-court fights with Max?
I don't. No, I will say, though, I mean, Max's whole game was around the rim. You know what I mean? He was great in the low post. He was, but he was also very sort of slippery. I don't know that I would call him a bull who would, you know, knock people over on the way to the basket. But, you know, he wasn't not physical, if that makes sense. I wouldn't call him Rick Mahorn, but he wasn't soft.
All right. Anyway, just wanted to play some sound today from the media availabilities. That guy's a piece of work. He's not going to carry on the same way in Game 3 he did in Game 2, by the way. He can't. The refs are going to be on notice, and there's been so much attention put to it, and the crowd's going to have all their panties in a bunch. I just can't fathom he's going to be the same guy that he was in Game. He needed that to the desperate times for the Warriors. He had to go there to get them that win, or he thought in his mind to get them that win. Now, okay, the series is back to even. If the Warriors go back down 2-1, I'd watch out for him in Game 4, but I'd expect a little different Draymond Green in Game 3. All right, I promise. Back to your phones. Long commercial-free segment next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
At Giant Eagle, you may have spotted the Stacker. With uncanny MyPerks ability, she stacks up the perks to choose either dollars off or up to 20% off her entire grocery bill. The Stacker, stacking up huge savings with MyPerks. Find your MyPerksonality and transform your shopping into free gas and groceries. Full details at GiantEagle.com/MyPerks. Perks cannot be earned or redeemed on select items. Restrictions apply.
This is purely a take that exists in my head.
Getting into your head.
Let me tell you what's in our head.
With hot sports takes.
And we share it with you.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
If you go back, you know, when I promoted Bruce, I think there was a similar reaction. And I expected it then, I expected it today. It's not a comfortable position to be in when you've got a popular coach both publicly and the amount of success he's had. Yeah, it's going to be an unpopular decision, and it's not going to resonate, and it didn't sit well with me. Very difficult decision, as I referenced, both personally and professionally, but, you know, the rhetoric behind, you know, at times you hear about, you know, the Bruins organization, the Jacobs family, about being, you know, uninvested owners and absentee owners is so far from the truth. They are very present. You know, when I go to write plans in front of both Cam and Charlie and Mr. Jacobs and that organization, you know, they expect, you know, as I referenced, you know, a few weeks ago, holding to a standard of best in class. And Bruce has been a part of a lot of success we've had. So, yeah, I believe the fans were going to be, you know, upset. And is it coming upon me to make the right decisions? Both personal decisions, personnel decisions, as well as staff decisions. And that's ultimately what I'm going to try and continue to do.
Hey, Don Sweeney talking about the unpopularity of this move. But what's unpopular about it is that Cassidy's being scapegoated. That the guy that drafted the crappy young players keeps the job. And the coach that wasn't nice to the crappy young players, and for good reason, is getting axed. That's what fans are upset about. If they had blown the whole thing up today, I don't think fans would be nearly as upset.
Agreed. It's more understandable because the guy who's standing, everyone that's been paying attention is like, well, why do you get to survive? You should be the one that's out too.
So if Don Sweeney thinks this was an unpopular move, wait till he trades David Pastrnak. And it feels like that is a percolating story. Filippo Shinzawa, who mentioned that today, said he said this morning on TNR that all signs point to the Bruins moving on from Pastrnak, has just posted a story on The Athletic in which he says what, Murray?
Well, part of his story reads as such. After the 2019-20 season, Torrey Krug's contract was expiring. Bruins general manager Don Sweeney did not stand in the way of the defenseman's exit to St. Louis. A year later, David Krejci's deal was up. Upon season's end, Krejci considered relocating his family to Czech Republic. Sweeney did not make it worth the center's while to change his mind. In both cases, David Pastrnak was watching. A source close to Pastrnak wrote The Athletic in a text, quote, 88 had seen how Don has treated his two best friends. No chance he comes back with Sweens as GM.
Okay. So, there we go. I mean, to me, the issue is the contract. He's going to be at least a $10 million player. He's going to be a top 10 highest paid forward in the game. That's $10 million per year. You're talking 8 years, $80 million. And that would, you know, put him right up there with the biggest forwards in the game, the highest priced forwards in the game. And are they willing to do that after they gave Charlie McAvoy a contract just like that? You know, and Pastrnak would get that kind of money on the open market, except he'd have to take one less year. I think that's the trade-off. I think the team signing him can get him for one extra year of guaranteed money. So seven at 70 on the market, eight at 80 here, like that's sort of the difference. Would he leave that extra $10 million guaranteed on the table? I don't know. But Fluto's certainly hot on all signs pointing to David Pastrnak being traded now. So you can add that to our list of thoughts. Back to your phones, Mark and Canton. He's been waiting patiently. Thanks for hanging on. Mark, what do you got?
Hey.
Yes, Mark. Go ahead, please.
Hey, how you doing? Sorry about that. Hey, you know what? If you're going to fire the coach, then you want to make change, why aren't you firing all of them? And, you know, shame on Neely, who I love as a player, and he's overseeing what Sweeney's doing. It's really disgusting to me. And then you just played that, you know, what Sweeney was saying. The guy's a joke, all right? When he played, he was a joke, and he's a joke as a GM. But I'll give you this. If you're going to trade Pastrnak, all right, well, how about throwing in DeBrusk, Clifton, and Grizzly?
Okay, yeah, I mean, I got a long list for you if you want. I got about 20 guys.
Keep going.
That I'll throw in, no problem. Maz, you have a thought? You're shaking your head?
Yeah, so look, again, when he says, you know, how do you not fire Sweeney and Neely? Because they're the ones making the decision. You know, the ownership's not making this decision. They're relying on Neely and Sweeney to make it. This is the whole point of absentee ownership. They basically just detach themselves from the whole thing. They empower Neely, who then empowers Sweeney. And so what do they do to appease ownership? They get rid of the coach and they make it like they're doing something when the reality is the problem in the organization is a shortage of talent, mostly resulting from bad drafts.
It has literally been going on for 50 years, what you just described.
I think it's, for some reason, it feels a lot worse now. Like, and the 50-year part of it, Mike, is I don't dispute that for a second. Maybe it's because I had more respect for Harry's hockey acumen, maybe, than I do for Sweeney's in particular.
Oh, Harry is 10 times shrewder than
okay,
Don.
So, so maybe that's why it didn't bother me as much. But these, you know, Harry was a good judge of talent. Harry could find guys. I don't feel like Sweeney's doing that.
Absolutely not. But the condition's the same. You fly up to Buffalo. The guy in Buffalo ain't paying attention. He doesn't know David Pastrnak from David Letterman. And you just say to him, the coach is trying to give him some good young players. He's screwing it up. We got to move the coach. And Jacob says, well, I'm still getting home playoff dates. All right, fine. Yeah, go ahead. Because he doesn't know the this only exists with absentee ownership. Because if someone was living here paying attention, they would see how the thing was being run and blow the whole thing up. Here is Joe in Lincoln on the Celts. Go, Joe.
Yeah, hi. You know, as you're talking about who's the best player, they need three players in each. I realize, I think you're missing one big point about basketball, probably hockey too, but a lot of it's the flow. It's not just this player and that player. It's not like baseball where they each get a chance to get up. How the ball moves, I think that's part of what makes Al Horford effective when the ball is moving right. And Marcus Smart, who, of course, you guys really don't like, part of what his value is on defense is the flow, how he helps the flow on defense when he's playing well. And I think that's true of just about everybody.
So, so what's the point, though, Joe?
I just told you that you can't just look at individual. You're saying that who's
okay,
the
so the Celts need better flow. Maz, do the Celts need better flow?
Well, look, the ball movement's one thing. I just, there were so many things about that call that I hated. So I don't dislike Marcus Smart. I just know what his shortcomings are. Marcus Smart's a valuable player on the team. He's got a place. The problems come in when Marcus Smart starts to overvalue his own place. And in that league, sometimes it does boil down to a vacuum. I don't put it all on Tatum. You know, they get bogged down when the ball doesn't move and they dribble into traffic and they commit turnovers. But I would say that that usually starts with Tatum and Brown because they're typically the ones turning it over the most.
Just look through.
I just hate having words put in my mouth that I never said. I can't stand that.
I mean, but down playing the role or the need for your superstars to play like superstars, I think is also missing the boat. Like, let's go down the list of NBA Finals MVPs. Every now and then there's a leaker in there like
Iguodala
yeah. In that one, you know, but for the most part, the Finals MVPs are the league MVPs, which means the best players play the best and their team wins. So, sorry, flow or no flow, Tatum's got to be an MVP or Brown's got to be an MVP or Curry or Thompson or those guys got to show or their teams aren't going to win. And I know that's simplistic, but that is kind of the sport. Nick in Providence. Go ahead, Nick.
Hey, so I don't deny the growth and the mindset for Jason Tatum and his maturation and everything like that. But I think his on-court assertiveness and confidence is definitely lesser than Jaylen Brown. And I think that's indicative by Draymond Green being Jaylen Brown instead of on Jason Tatum. Because not only is he a good defender, but he's an agitator. He's a demoralizer. And if Tatum was kind of that assertive player, they would feel the need to kind of knock him down a peg or two and bring him down by putting Draymond on him instead of Wiggins. Wiggins probably matches up against Draymond, against Jaylen, better athletically. But Draymond, they need to give Jaylen all they can mentally.
Okay, I hear you, Nick. I hear you, except Tatum would eat Draymond Green for lunch, don't you think? He's just Brown is a little more deliberate. His handling so good, so I think Draymond Green can keep up with Jaylen Brown better than he could Jason Tatum. But I hear what you're saying. Either way, I was just curious with that adjustment. And does Draymond Green really neutralize Jaylen Brown? And if he doesn't, he gives something of a different series. Do you have a thought, Maz, before we hit the top of the hour?
No, I would say, again, a lot of times these things are just, you know, they're surprising at the beginning, right? So now the Celtics know, Jaylen Brown knows what's coming, and now it's the next adjustment that catches the team off guard. So I bet you will see Draymond Green on Tatum later in this series.
All right, we've got more of your thoughts, everything from the Cassidy news, the percolating David Pastrnak rumors, and maybe David Pastrnak being shipped out of town, NBA Finals stuff. We did some Patriots and Sox earlier. Whatever you want, back to your phones after Big Jim Murray gets you updated. Only 90 seconds. There are no commercials here.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.